Morning, everyone. How is everybody this morning? I overslept this morning, so I'm quickly going to get my prop for my preach. It's just outside the door. Okay. Baksteen Nel. Okay. I'm holding in my hand a brick, a baksteen. Soos ons in Kimberley sal sê. Okay, today we're going to talk about living stones. Us becoming living stones. And we're going to do a couple of brick analogies. Moenie worry nie. Ek gaan hom nie gooi nie. So in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God." So we are living stones. We're going to talk about living stones this morning. And sort of the processes that God takes us through to become a living stone, to bring glory and honor to his name, and for us to be built up into that spiritual home where we can house the presence of the Lord. Do you realize you are being built up as a living stone so that you can house the presence of the Lord? That's like, wow, you know? So, how does a brick get manufactured? So, I'm going to read this to you. Sorry, you guys know my struggle now with my eyes because I wear glasses, but I see better if I take it off sometimes. Okay. Because I am 54 years old. Bricks are manufactured by mixing raw clay with water, shaping the mixture through extrusion or molding, drying them to remove moisture, and firing them in a kiln at high temperatures. The temperature is approximately 1,000 to 1,200 degrees Celsius. This process transforms the soft clay into durable, hard, and weather-resistant building material. This is what builders use to build with, from raw clay to durable, hard, and weather-resistant building material. Hoe kom lag jy, John? Moenie vra nie. So let's read quickly 1 Peter 2 verse 5 again. Just the first part, I just want us to read. "And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple." So you are the temple of the living God. God is using you to become a living stone so that he can build you into a temple. A temple is something that houses the presence of God. And we're going to look at how that process relates to what God is wanting to do in and through our lives this morning. So let us look at how bricks are manufactured. I'm going to break it down slowly. So this is a bit of a preach-teach. So if you want to take notes, you are welcome to. I should have said that at the beginning. So let us look at how bricks are manufactured again to see the process God will take each and every one of us through. So the process isn't one by one by one, you know, like we learn in school. Sometimes God takes you through the last process first, or he takes you through two processes, or in sometimes in my case, some are all four or five processes at one time, you know. So, but the importance is for us to let God, to yield to God. I once said to somebody, when I had coffee with the person was arguing with me about becoming a Christian. And then I said to him, Christianity is simple. It's about surrender. It's about yielding. It's about yielding your life to Him and let Him be the sovereign God that He is supposed to be and that He has preordained to be in each and every one of our lives. And this morning we're going to look at this brick process. So the first process that we're going to look at is mixing the raw clay with water. God takes our raw material. So all of us are born into sin, né? Our raw material. And He mixes it with the washing of water. Water is symbolism of the Word of God. So when we first come to, we are all raw clay, born into sin. We are all born into a sinful nature. But then Jesus came, or Jesus comes into our lives individually at various points in our lives, and then He mixes our raw clay with the Word of God. We then hear the Word of God preached. You can't just hear the Word, you've got to hear the Word of God preach. That's why preaching is important. You hear the Word of God preached under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and our eyes are opened. Because of a preaching and the Holy Spirit being present there, our eyes are opened. We all have testimonies of the day our eyes got opened. My eyes got opened on the 11th of April 1994 through the preaching of the Word by a friend of mine. Our eyes get opened to what, you may ask? Our eyes get opened to the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. The gospel is very simple. This thing is very simple. My eyes got opened on the 11th of April 1994 through the mixing. I was raw clay. If you want to know, you can go and speak to my siblings. They grew up with me. They'll tell you how raw clay I was. And my eyes got opened through the preaching of the Word of God. And then I got to a point where my eyes got opened. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And we know our Savior is Jesus Christ. That's the day we, each and every one of us, give our lives to the Lord. And that is the first process God takes us through. We just step into. So you are raw clay. Now you're being mixed with water. You're not a brick yet. You're not a living stone yet. Let's look at the other processes. The second process. Second process is shaping the mixture through extrusion or molding. Molding through transformation. The second process we go through is where we allow God to shape us or transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12 verse 2 says, in the NIV, it says, do not conform any longer. Can you see, this is like, you were that raw clay. Now God is calling you into, do not conform any longer to the pattern. What is another word for pattern? To the mold of this world. Do not conform to the pattern or the mold of this world any longer. But be transformed, be changed, be shaped by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He's good, and God takes us, we've spoken about this before, God takes us through first the good will of God, then the pleasing will of God, and then the perfect will of God. As we walk out our Christian, start to walk out our Christian lives. So, that's process number two. The third process, I'm going through my preach quite quickly. It's gonna finish very quickly today. The third process, drying them to remove moisture. Who's going through a dry period, or who has ever gone through a dry period in their walk with the Lord? Do you get a better understanding why God takes you through dry processes? It's to remove moisture. He takes you through a dry process to remove moisture. Moisture can represent bad doctrine. Because we all, in South Africa, most of us, I think 90% of us in South Africa, grow up in Christian homes, or we grow up with doctrine that just isn't really so lekker aligned to the Word of God. Let's be honest about that. So God takes us through a dry process to just align us with the doctrine that is contained in the Word of God, not the doctrine contained into philosophical thoughts that comes from philosophies, from Socrates, from Confucius, who is still confused till today. He takes you through that dry process to align you with his doctrine, his teachings contained in the Word of God. So when I came to the Lord, I went through a period where I needed to. I grew up, a lot of you know that I grew up Catholic, so I had a lot of bad doctrine that moisture needed to be taken away from me or dried out of my life. And so I went through a period, and I was playing club rugby at the time, and the first thing the Lord told me, stop playing rugby, because I need you to spend time in my Word. The second thing the Lord told me is, you will not look for a girlfriend, because you know, I was 22 years old, and I wanted a girlfriend at the time. You will not look for a girlfriend. And I didn't get a girlfriend until 3 years later. So I sat and I laid that down. The Lord asked me to lay that down. He asked me to lay down rugby and girlfriend or women. Why? He wanted me to spend time in his Word. He wanted to lay a foundation, a doctrinal foundation in my life. And I read the Word, and I was discipled by one of my best friends at the time, where he took me and he was quite a hectic, actually still is, he was quite a hectic guy. He used to tell me the one Tuesday when we were praying together, he told me, you've got pride in your life, go and pray about it, we'll talk on Friday. It's Tuesday, Friday, I've got to get rid of pride in 3 days. Anyway, so that's the way I was discipled. So then the Friday I went to him, but it was actually one of the biggest breakthroughs in my life, spiritually speaking. Because the Friday I got to him and I said to him, you know what? He gave me examples of what I did on the Friday. And then I said to him, you know what? You're right. And that's when my walk of humility came. The walk of humility is a walk that we all need to get to. I think it's one of the most important things as a Christian to learn to walk in humility. That you... I teach my kids, I said to my kids, you are not that important in life. Jesus is more important than you, and actually other people are sometimes more important than you. And it's the thing about humility being important is when God gives you hard words sometimes. He has to align you. That moisture that it needs to take out is something that you hold dear to. Are you willing to let your doctrine or your theology, are you willing to let your theology go for the purpose of Jesus Christ? And that's a process that God takes us through by building us into this living stone. Sorry, my laptop died. Just give me 2 minutes. Thingy went off. So, are you willing to let your theology, to put down your theology? And are you willing to walk with somebody? If I walk with Gerard, Gerard can take me and show me in the Word of God. But Evan, this is what you believed. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what the Word says. Are you willing to lay that down? And a big component of that is having a humility walk with the Lord. Because humility tells me, I don't know everything. You know? Humility, it's a bit hectic to go from trying to let you think you know everything to letting somebody else teach you, to letting a child teach you. I've had times where my kids called me out. Jacques has shared testimonies where the Lord called him out and told him, listen, he goes, say sorry to Owen. When Owen wasn't this age, Owen was, I think, 6 years old. Are you humble enough to apologize to a six-year-old? Are you humble enough to let your theology or your doctrine die so that you can align yourself to the doctrine that is contained in the Word of God? You see, that word that we preach, that word that we stand on, that word that we read, is our manual. And this is a very important process that we need to go through, the third process. Then the fourth process. Firing them in a kiln. I don't know what the kiln is, but anyway. I didn't Google that. Wat is it? Wind. Okay, dankie Sjaal, ek het geweet Sjaal gaan weet. Sjaal is veel slimmer as ek. Firing them in a wind at temperatures approximately 1,000 to 1,200 degrees Celsius. The fire is there to remove any impurities you may still have in your life. This can be sins or patterns or molds that God can only remove with fire. Who's been delivered from something? But sometimes God can deliver you when somebody prays for you. But sometimes God needs to take you through the fire. He needs to take you through the fire. I remember when one of the things that the Lord had to deal with me, when we were still in our previous church, we had a prophetic conference. And this prophetic guy called out anger. And you know, I grew up in my house, in my household with my dad. My dad was a school principal. So I grew up in a household when you needed to, we're not seven in the household. My cousin also grew up with us. So we like minimum eight in the household. And then other people came and stayed with us. And we were, you can ask Priscilla when we started dating. My mother used to put out 14 plates for us to eat. And then my mother prayed like Jesus to multiply the food, you know. So in order for me to, and then when my mom asked me, how was the food? Then I used to say, that was lekker. Net man, because I was a growing boy. Because my mother knew I was going to give her a straight answer. But that's not the point. I'm going off cue here. The point is, in my household, my dad was a strict school principal. I don't know if you guys know that scene of the boys in matric where Ben Kruger screams at them, that is exactly how my father was as a school principal. And so, in order for you to be heard in the house, you had to scream, and you had to swear, and you had to literally bully others to be heard. You had to fight. You have to come out fighting. So when I, in my walk with the Lord, when that prophet was in the, he called out anger, and I had to go forward, and I had to repent. I had to ask them to pray for me, for anger, because I had an anger problem. I had a temper problem. Fortunately, I married a strong wife. That when we got married, she told me, "You will not raise your voice at me." And I listened. I had to listen. My brothers and sisters asked Priscilla, "How do you live with him?" She said, "I just ignore him and I move on with my life." So anger was something that the Lord had to bring out and sort out in my life to mold me. Because I can tell you now that if I didn't deal with anger, I probably would have sat in jail. And like I tell people, if I sit in jail, I'm probably going to have to repent and start a prison ministry. Okay. But that's that's a story for another day. But the molding needs to happen. And that ingredient of humility, where I need to say, listen, yeah, I'm wrong. And I'm not the superstar that I think I am, you know? There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance and pride. Fine lines. There's a beautiful encouragement in Psalm 66, verse 2 in the NIV. It says, oh, it's probably the wrong script. It's probably the wrong scripture. Go on, Nika. Go to the next one, verse 3. I don't know if I quoted this right. Okay, just take it off. I'm going to read it from here. It says here, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So when you go through the fires of life, God promises that it will not burn you. But it is there for a molding process. 1,000 to 1,200 degrees Celsius to mold you into becoming a living stone that God can use for honorable use. Amen. And then, let's look at the outcome. This process of the brick being made transforms the soft clay into durable, hard, and weather-resistant building material. This is what builders use to build with, from raw clay to durable, hard, and weather-resistant material. God then uses these processes to mold you from soft clay into durable, hard, and weather-resistant building material. Spiritually speaking, God molds you into the image of Jesus, spoken of in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6. Let's quickly read that. First Peter 2:4-6. You got it? Oh, sorry, Lika's struggling with that. Let me quickly get my Bible. Oh, you got it? Okay. Sorry, Nika. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Verse 6, as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. As I land in conclusion, we are living stones, and we need to be built into the church of God in a unique way. And like I said at the beginning, by housing the dwelling place of God. I think sometimes when you sit at work, you just need to tell yourself, Jesus is on the inside of me. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And I need to yield to Jesus being on the inside of me. I am a living stone. I am that living stone. We need to be built into the church of God in a unique way by housing the dwelling place of God. How do we build? How do we build? Jesus is building a church, but we've got a part to play. How do we build? Let's read Ephesians 2 verse 19 and 20. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. So you are part of the household of God. You are part of a family of God. But fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. What is a chief cornerstone? A chief cornerstone is the principal foundational stone placed at the corner of a building, setting the alignment, direction, and structural integrity for the entire structure. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the principal foundation that we live, that we as living stones need to align ourselves with, that we as living stones need to take direction from, and finally that we as living stones need to have as being the basis of the structural integrity on which he builds his church on. Must I read it again? It's a long sentence. I was helping my daughter with her assignment, and then I gave her a long sentence. She said, no, Daddy, cut it short. I said to her, no, I can do a very long sentence. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the principal foundation that we as living stones need to align ourselves with. That we as living stones need to take direction from. And finally, that we as living stones need to have as being the basis of the structural integrity on which he builds his church. He is the principle. He is the foundation on which we build. We take his the direction on how we build from him, not from others, from him, because he's the chief cornerstone. And we need to build on the structural integrity on which Jesus places, on which Jesus builds his church on. Because indeed the Word of God is the structural integrity on which we build. Jesus is that Word. And we need to build on that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that even a little bit you have opened up our eyes this morning as to how we are living stones and the processes you take us through as living stones, where we can build on the structural integrity which is Jesus Christ. That we, Lord, let you teach us as a church not to build on anything else. That when you take us through the fires, when you wash us with the water, that is the Word of God. When you take us through dry places, it is for us to have that structural integrity of Jesus Christ in our lives, and on which we can become that living stone, where we can be built into the household of God, and that your house would be built. We thank you, Lord, that you, Jesus, said that you will build your church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We thank you, Father God, that you open up our hearts to just yield for the things and the processes that you take us through, because there's a bigger picture of your church being built. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.